Derivatives Podcast. I'm here with the team from CVI, that's Crypto Volatility Index, which is a DeFi VIX built on chain. I'm here with Moshe, the CEO of CVI, and I'm here with Yoni, the CINO of CVI. Guys, how are you?
We're good. Very happy to be here, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys just recently released the fourth version of your Crypto Volatility Index, which is a tradable index. I'm really excited to go into the details of that. But before that, maybe we could just jump into quick backgrounds for each one of you guys, just so listeners can get familiar with yourselves.
Sure. So I'm an entrepreneur for the last 12 years. My background is more on the internet entrepreneurships ventures. I co-founded and still part of various companies which develop technologies in the internet space, in the edtech space. Over the past 3 years, I became really obsessed with crypto and trading on crypto and these areas. And I was looking for an interesting opportunity to bring my capabilities as an investor and as a leader of the company. And I thought CVI is the perfect match for myself, and I thought it has great potential. I think since July, I am the CEO of the company and helping the very talented team to try and make it a significant tool for the crypto space.
That's great.
And I've been in the crypto space since 2017 in my background. I'm a software engineer, and these days mostly doing more architectural side, along with everything that is needed on the CVI front, working with the dev team. Besides this, in my background, I have a background in algorithmic trading, and I worked 7 years in TradeFi and risk management. Now focusing on CVI and DeFi.
That's fantastic. So I guess for anyone who isn't familiar with CVI, in a nutshell, it's essentially an on-chain VIX for Bitcoin options and Ethereum options. You guys target a similar 30-day maturity, but it's also a tradable instrument. So you guys can actually trade this index, and then there's derived products on top of it, like a Theta Vault or a Hedge Theta Vault. Maybe we can just kind of jump into those details. So what is the trading suite of products that CVI offers?
You pretty much describe it precisely. We are aiming to be the VIX of the crypto market, and currently the only working product on-chain where you can trade against the implied volatility of the crypto space. Bitcoin and Ethereum are obviously dominant in terms of market caps and also in terms of options. And therefore, as VIX is on the S&P 500, we do everything on the crypto, everything that we can track, which is currently Bitcoin and Ethereum. The platform itself, in terms of the functionality, is the entire ecosystem for trading volatility. So we have, from one side, we have traders. They can open positions in real time on the index. They can do it with leverage. We actually have two indexes. We have the CVI, and we have a leveraged index, which is called UCVI, which is a 3 times more volatile index than the CVI index. So traders can pick the index. Currently, long is the only option for the broad audience, but very soon we will expose the short as well for everyone. So traders will be able to either long or short the index with a leverage of up to 16x. And when you combine the 16x leverage with the UCVI leveraged index, basically you're getting almost 50x exposure to the index, which is pretty high. So you can play with the volatility to the maximum. So this is on the traders' front. Traders are paying for their open positions. They are paying hourly funding fees. Those hourly funding fees are going to the Theta Vault depositors. The Theta Vault is basically the liquidity for the trades. So people can deposit their funds to the Theta Vault and earn interest from the trades from the traders. The Theta Vault is pretty straightforward in explanation, but behind the scenes, it's a very complex product that allows the entire ecosystem to basically operate.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, although right now I can't directly go short the index, I essentially can be a liquidity provider to the index and collect funding by going to the Theta Vault. Is that right?
Yes. Basically, when you deposit funds in the Theta Vault, you're in some kind of short because the traders are opening long positions. Basically, they're paying the funding fees, and when the index goes down, then you're earning more from the open trades.
Yeah, that's really interesting. When I think about TradFi, there's like in volatility trading, the VIX ETPs like UVXY and VXX and UVXY, those have been like really popular products. One of the defining natures or defining characteristics of those products is that they consistently lose a little bit of value due to the funding cost or the deviation from VIX futures to VIX cash. And so you guys have essentially a similar mechanism. But instead of a VIX ETP that trades the VIX futures, you will have the Theta Vault that will essentially be like being short the VIX ETP through the funding collection of everyone who's going long the CVI index. Is that a good analogy?
It's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yoni.
Yeah, it's the exact like our aspiration was those CTNs, UVXY and the rest of them that have daily volumes of close to $1 billion daily. So our desire from the inception of the project was to bring those products to crypto.
That's really interesting. And then when you guys start allowing the ability to go short the index, how does that affect the funding mechanism?
So, similarly, like basically, you can also think of the Theta Vault like a GMX pool or gains, so it's a peer-to-peer pool trading. So, with any peer-to-peer trading, you want the pool to be a hedge as much as possible. So right now, the way it works with V4, one of the big changes we did is the hedge Theta Vault that you have long traders on one side, and on the other side, we have the ability for shorting the index, but that is only available for market makers at this point. We're doing some last touch-ups, and then we can open it up for everyone. And the effect of that is basically that the funding rates can significantly go down. This is already happening in this version. The funding rates are much more lucrative. And once we have short ability, it will be even more interesting that basically we can have two sides and anyone can participate in adjusting the funding rates.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that makes me think of like a high volatility environment where everyone wants to start shorting the index, the funding would go negative, which would be similar to VIX futures trading below VIX cash in a high volatility environment. Is that kind of the right way to think about it?
Exactly, you're touching the exact spot. So what we're testing now is something that we didn't have until now, that once we go into a very high volatility environment, the funding rates have to also become negative on the short. So that's what we're testing right now. And once that is clear, we can allow anyone to short the index.
That's really interesting. And I read in your documentation you had some sort of mechanism that would look at sort of the demand for open interest to the long side and to the short side, and that was sort of the transmission mechanism for deviations in funding. Can you maybe touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so the way it works is also we want the pool to be balanced in exposure. The pool ideally would support as much OI as possible while keeping its exposure as low as possible. So we want long and shorts to be relatively balanced. However, we wanted the traders to have a good experience. So we have a funding window that the funding rates update based on OI on either side every 2 hours and gradually. So for example, if you take a long position and a whale comes in and it's a peer-to-pool, you can take a big position at once even. It won't directly affect you immediately. There is time to adjust. So the way it works is OI is balanced. Funding rates are balanced by OI changes from long and short over time. in such a way that the pool strives to be as balanced as possible.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And then when we talk about the calculation of the index itself, how do you guys pull the data? Where do you guys pull it from? Like, where's the listed market that you're referring to in order to calculate the CBI index?
So we take the data, and right now we take it from the Revit. That's like the main source of our trading, and we're now working on the integration with Evo. So we'd love to add DeFi sources to the calculation. We also looked at the Lyra and other sources, Premia, adding DeFi like options that are with AMM is a bit complicated because you need to like to have the calculation valid. But we like our next goal is to add Evo to the calculation.
That's really interesting. And then something about your guys' protocol. So it is trading on Arbitrum, is that right?
Yes.
And why did you guys choose Arbitrum versus Optimism or some other sort of scaling solution?
I think when we started the project, even we were comparing back then, there was Arbitrum and Optimism. Most of the other layer 2s weren't alive yet, besides Polygon. So we were looking at Arbitrum. The technology was really, really great. So we thought there was a bright future for Arbitrum. Yeah, so Arbitrum, they're continuing to innovate all the time.
Yeah.
But we aim to be on every dominant layer 2.
I see. So the future roadmap does have coverage on other L2s. That's interesting. So CBI actually has a governance token, Govi. Maybe you could touch on that. Is there some sort of tokenomics behind sort of trading on the index that go to the governance holders, or is it only governance rights? And is there kind of staking? Like, how does all that work?
So Govi has various functionalities. Right now, as a governance token, obviously you can vote. And we are a decentralized project, and we basically put a lot of attention on that front to make sure that every big decision is going through the community, the Govi holders. So one thing is voting and making sure that you have influence on the futures of the future of the project. And another thing is that everyone are really looking forward to is a real yield. So Govi stakers will be eligible for real yield. We have four conditions, which we defined in a recent economics update. When two of the four will be met, then Govi stakers will start earning real yield for their Govi. One of the four already being completed with the launch of the new version, because one of the condition was the UCVI introduction and the Hedge Theta Vault. So we are left with one of the three remaining conditions. One of them is total value locked. The other is the usage of the platform. And we have another condition. The protocol has direct relation. The success of the protocol has direct relation with Govi holders, and they will benefit from the growth of the protocol.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then you mentioned some of the market makers who have the ability to go short and essentially to hedge their books and stuff like that. Can you maybe talk about the process of onboarding market makers? Is there How do you guys do that? How do you guys reach out to market makers? Is there a program for market makers?
So right now it's a very close circle, like very close, let's say friends and people that we know and trust. As Yoni already described, the idea is to launch the short very soon. So probably this won't be growing into onboarding a lot of market makers and validating them or something like that, rather exposing the short for everyone.
Cool. Awesome. And then if people want to learn more about CBI, like you guys have a sort of a native web app to trade the protocol, which looks really slick. I saw you guys also have a blog. Is there more content out there?
Yeah, so we are very active on all the Web3 channels. We're doing a lot of effort to bring the knowledge of implied volatility trading through, KOLs on Twitter, and through our community channels such as the Telegram and the Discords. We're very active there, so I urge anyone who wants to trade volatility to go join our community, ask the questions. You will get your answers very soon. The platform is itself, as you already said, it's a very straightforward mechanism where you can just open your position very quickly. I think that understanding implied volatility in general and how the index is moving and why the index is moving is a challenge for people in the crypto space right now. Because when you look on TradeFi and the VIX, like everyone knows the values of the VIX and like whether the current values are low or high and whether you need to short it or long it, or how can you use the VIX as a hedging solution. So it's pretty clear for everyone, but the crypto market is in a build-up process, and people like Smart Money is joining, and we are trying as a mission to educate the market on how to trade implied volatility. So a long answer to a very short question, but still, I think that if you want to educate yourself on how to trade CVI, follow us on Twitter, join the Telegram group and Discords. We have a lot of information that we like on a weekly or daily basis, we distribute to everyone.
Yeah, that's great. And I'll add those links here in the show notes, in the comment section. So you've recently launched version 4 of CVI. Can you give us a brief history of when CVI got started and sort of your iterations up to version 4?
Yes, Yoni, maybe you want to touch like the first versions and then I can talk about the process from V3 to V4.
Yeah, sure. So we started on Ethereum mainnet back in even DeFi summer with a lot of volume, back when even like transaction costs were $150, unbelievable times, you know. And then with version 2 and 3, we added our volatility tokens, which is basically a long position encapsulated in an ERC20 token. So with version 3, those became live, and you could trade CVI, take a long position and close it just by swapping into a token on a DEX. The thing is that with DEXs and in the current environment, everyone wants the lowest slippage as possible. So with DEX, you get higher fees. This is something that we can add once Uniswap V4 become live. So in this version 4, the volatility tokens are taking a step back. They still exist in the background. They are not in the UI. But once Uniswap V4 goes live, we can bring them back and allow very low fees also on the DEX side, parallel to opening and closing regular positions. So that's something very, very exciting for the future, that we can leverage Uniswap before.
Yeah, and I think that the transition between V3 and V4, I mean, has been very significant for us. In general, I think that trying to bring VIX on-chain to the crypto market is a very challenging task. I mean, tech-wise, it's challenging. Executional part is challenging. And also the fact that, the amount of people who actually understand implied volatility is relatively small in comparison, to people just wanting to long or short Bitcoin or Ethereum, which is pretty clear. So it's like a very challenging mission in general, but we really think that it's an essential tool. And when we started to build V4, we really tried to identify what people are looking for in the crypto space. Like, why would they trade volatility on chain? What do they need? And we tried to cover exactly those points. So I think that the biggest concern was the funding fees. In the previous versions, the funding fees were pretty high, especially when the CVI value is getting low. We have reached an all-time low value of CVI during August and September. It reached around 34, I think, or 35. And when the value of CVI is very low, you know that at some point it will go up. You know, it's just a matter of time. And therefore, you have to mitigate the risk somehow for the liquidity provider. So you're only in the previous version, your only way to mitigate the risk was charging very high funding fees. So you know, we've reached a maximum funding fees of 3.5% a day. So it's not lucrative enough for traders. You really need to time your position. Otherwise, you will basically lose all your money. So this was the biggest concern, and we had to take care of it. And the hedged Theta Vault was the answer for it. When the Theta Vault is hedged, so we can be calm that when the CVI value will go up, we have a strategy. So the liquidity providers won't lose their pants. And this allowed us to reduce the funding fees by 70%, which is significant. And then again, when the CVI value is going up, the funding fees are going down. And right now, when we are in these levels of CVI value of 60, the funding fees are around 0.3, 0.4% a day. It's much more lucrative for traders. It's much more tradable. So this was a big concern that we covered on V4. Another thing that we wanted to make sure people have are opportunities. When the market is calm and the movements are hardly happening, at least in the crypto world, people are getting bored. They are looking for the big opportunities. They need capital efficiency, and this is why we launched the UCVI, the leveraged index, and leverage in general. And apart from those areas, we also launched a referral program, which probably talk about, which is also important for people. That's
Yeah, that's fascinating. On the leverage front, what kind of liquidation parameters or like margin parameters do traders like look at? How do their positions, if it goes underwater, how does it get liquidated by the CVI protocol?
So we use the Chainlink keepers that monitor the positions. Once a position goes below a threshold, I believe it's 5%, it gets to liquidation. And once a user opens the position, you can all of the time see the liquidation index price.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And then real quick, you mentioned like a tokenized version of the volatility exposure in a previous version of CVI. Can you maybe talk about the mechanism for that? So if I wanted to get long volatility, I could buy this token. Is it a similar sort of implicit funding mechanism that say Squeeze or Open has in its system where the exposure constantly diminishes, or how do you guys manage that?
Yeah, so the volatility tokens, while a very big endeavor that we're proud of accomplishing, the way it works is basically if you want to have a token that has a time decay, it will just over time it will just go down in price, right? So that's something that can be done. Like if you are talking about UVXY or VXS, all of those. They have like the anti-split, and then they like adjust the price all the time. So what we did with that, we added a rebase mechanism. So the token was pegged to the CVI index. That has a very cool effect that you could just add it to your watch list and then know the CVI value at all times just by tracking your regular tokens. So the rebase mechanism always semantically kept the token tagged to its index, and traders could arbitrage between the DEX and our Tether vote and close the gap between them. So we have an intrinsic price on our platform, and we have the value on the DEX. And the vault itself also knows to arbitrage it by itself, capturing that profit. So this is something that will be can be very significant with Uniswap V4, because then we can basically allow the same experience that we have on the platform with very low fees on the DEX.
That's really cool. Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, I usually like to ask a couple quick questions. One of them is, do you guys, either of you guys have a favorite trading book? And then secondly, what do you guys like to do outside of work for fun or for hobbies?
Yeah, do you want to go first?
So I've been trading for many years. I have at home 150 to 100 trading books. I actually like the most some unknown books about valuation. Intelligent Investor is pretty, it's very known and loved, but it's really tough for many people to read. So I would think for one of the most fun books are the Market Wizards. I think just fun and very informative. You get into the minds of professional traders. It's an easy read, and also you can get a lot of insights from that.
Yeah,
so of the Market Wizards series.
Yeah, I love the Market Wizards.
And besides this, on my personal time, a recent hobby is boulder climbing. So, really great sport. I love it.
So, bouldering is rock climbing with no rope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Free falling climbing. So I started to read a lot of books on options lately, because I want to get deep into the knowledge there. And I'm right now I'm reading an interesting book. It's called the Options Playbook, which is quite nice. Outside of CVI, apart of the fact that when you are dead, then you don't have a lot of personal life, just a little personal life. But still in this little personal life, I play soccer, which is,
cool.
Some time to get the aggression out.
I love it. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. For everyone listening, we'll put all the show notes in the show notes. We'll put the links back to CVI so you guys can go explore the platform yourselves. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg.